The Friday after Thanksgiving, my fiance, my two dogs, and I piled in the car and then drove south starting at 4 o'clock p.m. We were headed to a location just outside Williamsburg where dozens of old abandoned statues of presidents sat in a field in an industrial recycling business. After parking across from a large backhoe, meeting the coordinator of the event that we were at, and then tromping back past piles of mulch, we arrived to see these. These heads used to sit in President's Park, a $10 million attraction inspired by Mount Rushmore, so people could learn more about the presidents. But when the park went under in 2010, the heads were moved to this property where they still sit. As I stood there looking at them, I reflected on the cost of 10 years of weather exposure. These once pristine, immense statues have been covered in snow, expanded in the heat, only to then contract in cooler weather, and then been beaten by pounding rain, seen thousands of sunny days, and whipped by the wind. Many are cracked, as you may have seen in the photos, and eroded. Some are almost unrecognizable in the face. And it makes me wonder how many people to whom the prophet Joel was speaking in this morning's text felt like these presidents' heads appear, at least a bit cracked, if not eroded, or almost unrecognizable. Before we get to this part of Joel, to this second chapter, just one chapter before, the people have already suffered so much, much of it a cumulative effect. First came the locusts. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. And at the end of it, there's nothing left. Then another nation invaded the land, laying waste to vines and destroying fig trees. The fields are devastated, the ground mourns, for the grain is destroyed, the wine dries up, the oil fails. The animals are hungry because there's no grain to feed them, and the people are hungry because both fields and animals fail to feed them. Everything they have is in ruins, destroyed either by natural causes or human destruction. And along with it, Joel says, the joy withers away among the people. Their joy withers away, and the people of Judah first begin to crack before beginning to erode. And on this second Sunday in an Advent, a time when we normally enjoy the soft lights of Christmas decorations and the glitter of ornaments on trees, when we begin to get cozy around a fire and prepare once again to be enchanted with the magic of the season, I wonder how many of us are feeling much the same way as the people of Judah. Oh, we're putting up lights and placing ornaments on trees. We are still getting ready for the Christ child to come to us again. But we're doing so in the shadow of a pandemic that has altered our traditions and our plans. And if you're like me, as I reflected on those presidents' heads and how a little stress over a large period of time can eat away at you, I realize how much I feel like the people Joel is talking to. Weary, cracked, and feeling a bit eroded. Maybe you feel that way too, with the constant need to pivot and create new traditions. The weariness of always being vigilant while with other people. The stress of online school and then trying to work from home while your children sit in that school next to you. Along with the anxiety about our own or our loved ones' health, whether that's physical or mental. Like those president's heads, some of us have suffered minimal damage, while I suspect others of us are broken enough that we're beginning to not look like ourselves. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Yet even now, return to God with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Those words from Joel remind us that as much as the wonder and amazement this season can bring, sometimes joy and hope are not found in always being jolly and happy. Instead, God finds us in the midst of our weeping and our mourning. God comes not when everything is perfect and everything is ready, but instead in the midst of our brokenness and our decay. God comes when everything is overwhelming and there's no place to stay. God comes. Joy born almost literally in the feces of life. God is both here and on the way, welcoming our weeping and our mourning. So in this time of COVID, hear these words again from the prophet Joel. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. And while we may think of our emotions or our feelings when we think of our hearts, in Hebrew, the heart implies determination, purpose, or courage. So even if you have nothing else to bring, if you are weeping and mourning and not at all happy, courageously rend your heart before God. Recommit yourself to the notion that God is in the midst of all of this. Be determined to look for the ways love still exists in the midst of this tragedy. Trust that God is here and that God is on the way. Return to the Lord your God, for God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Because when you do, when you return to God, then God will pour out God's Spirit on all flesh, on your sons and on your daughters. They shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on everyone. This Advent, friends, I invite you to see the joy that exists in unexpected places, to see that you do not need necessarily for everything to be holly, jolly, and bright, because we have a Savior to be with us in the midst of the worst parts of our lives. And that Savior is coming, a Savior who will welcome our mourning and our weeping, who asks us to be courageous and to trust in God, a Savior who will be joy born in the midst of the feces of life, joy that is born in the midst of our sorrow.